one of the great truths of the Bible that is taught in many places in the Scripture is the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. In fact, if you remember John 1:14, Jesus Christ became flesh. It said, "Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." At a point in time in history, Jesus Christ, who for all eternity has existed with the Father and the Spirit, He's always existed at a point in time in history, according to Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son, born of a woman. So at exactly the right time, Jesus Christ became a person. And so He's always existed, but here He is. He's come to this earth becoming a human being so that He could die in our place. And we talk about it every time we do the Lord's Supper. Why would Jesus Christ, why would the Son of God have to become a human being? He becomes a human being so He could die in man's place, so He could be the perfect man. In fact, when you think about it, go to the next slide, He's really the God-man, and you think about it, He's God so that He can pay for sin, but He's man so that He could die. He became the God-man so that He could pay the penalty of sin, but He also became a human being so that He could die and die in our place. And because the blood of an animal could never pay for a man's sin, the only sacrifice that could pay for a human being's sin is a perfect human being. There's only one perfect human being, and that's Jesus Christ, who is God. And so those aspects, as we see it, God, who is the perfect one, only one who can pay for sin, He's the sinless one. Man is the one who could die for us. So as we continue the study of Jehovah's Witnesses, we want to find out that one of their main teachings is that Jesus Christ is not God. He's not the God. He may be a God. He is a created being. There's a point in time in history they would say that Jesus Christ did not exist, and then God created Him. Jehovah God created Him. And so when we look at it, that's a huge difference. Because we say that Jesus Christ is God from all eternity and has always existed, and a point in time in history became a human being. Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus has not always existed, that a point in time God, Jehovah, created Jesus. So He is a created being. And so He's not eternal. He had a beginning. He was created by Jehovah God. Well, when we get into our study in a minute, we will talk about all of that. It's pretty powerful. Now, let me just remind you this. What is a cult? Is a cult? It's a group that usually centers their teachings around a particular person or a particular group. Usually it deals with Jesus and the doctrines, but they change them. Why would we study the cults? So that we can be grounded and know how to give an answer. There are number of marks of a cult. In fact, when you think about it, there's three areas. In fact, if you said, what are some areas that are marks of cults? Now, there are groups that have these areas and these errors, but it doesn't mean they're a cult. But the cults, almost all cults, have a fact that they have what we call extra-biblical revelation. They always have something other than the Bible. They either change the Bible and add to it, or they have something else. The second is they always have what we call a defective Christology, which means they change Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses changed Jesus. Jesus is not God, as far as the Jehovah's Witness is concerned. He's a God. He's a created being. And the third thing is that they always have works for salvation. As we look at these aspects of a cult, we're going to focus on three areas. And then we're going to look at the Bible, Christ, and salvation. That's the big three areas that we're looking at. And this morning, as we continue doing this, there's three things we're going to kind of touch on. And we've done this on all of the groups or everything that we've studied so far. We always get the background. We always look at what do they say about the Bible, what do they say about Christ, and what do they say about salvation. And then we end with how do we witness? I mean, how do we deal with these people and those kind of things? So let me remind you, we're on the start of page 2 of this thing, because we want to get a little background. And what we did is last time we talked about the Bible. When we got the background, we talked about the Bible, and we talked about how that they look at the Bible and they say, this Bible, what we have, is wrong. And so they have a new translation of the Bible that they wrote basically in the 1950s. It's called the New World Translation. That's what they call it. And tied in with the Bible, they have some other writings which are called Zion Watchtower. I've got some of these right here. This is called the Watchtower. It's originally started as Zion Watchtower, and then they just call them the Jehovah's Witnesses. And this is some of their little booklets. This is some of their writings. Now, what's in here is binding. What's in here is from their prophets, from their leaders, from their teachers. And these are not just little pamphlets that you'd say, oh, that's nothing. They'd say, no, what's in here is accurate. What's in here is the teaching of the church, of teaching of Jehovah's Witnessing. It's called the Watchtower Announcing Jehovah's Kingdom, because what they see and what they think is this. The most important thing you could ever talk about is the name of God, Jehovah, and the kingdom that will come. Now, They started off with a kingdom that was going to come, and then it got all messed up because it didn't match their prophecies. So they've had to change their kingdom that will come. And we'll talk about it in just a little bit. So if you really want to challenge them on it, you say, man, I thought 1914. See, because their prophet said 1914 Jesus would come as the king. But it didn't happen. And so they said, he came spiritually. We just didn't see him, and he's now the king, but you can't see him, and he's let Satan be loose on the earth, and that's why since 1914, everything's got worse. I think it was worse a long time ago, too. I mean, it's always getting worse, right? So, anyway, we'll talk about that as we get through it. So, the bottom line is they have the Bible. They made some changes. In Colossians 1, where it says Jesus created all things, they changed the Bible to say Jesus created all other things, meaning that he was created as well. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, the Bible says the Word was God. They changed it to the Word was a God because they knew that the Word refers to Jesus. And since they know, they don't think he's the God, the Jehovah God, they had to put a God there. And so they changed the Bible and a lot of things. We said last week, as far as what they believe Bible-wise, there are a number of things they do not hold to the Trinity. There is no Trinity. There is one God called Jehovah. Jesus is a God, not the true God. And the Holy Spirit is actually sort of a force. That's number two there. The Holy Spirit is a force, and the force is connected with Jehovah God. The Holy Spirit is not a person. He's not God. He's just a force connected with Jehovah God. The third thing is that Christ is not the God. He's just a God. We've already mentioned that. We saw that last time. That's these four teachings. They're pretty powerful. They stand out. And we'll get more on Jesus in a minute. But here's the other one, and that's strange, is there's no eternal punishment. When you read the Scripture, you see that there's a separation from God forever. You see it at the great white throne judgments. You see it called the lake of fire. You see it in Matthew 24:25. You see it in 1 Thessalonians. You see it all throughout the Scripture. But they do not hold to that. They think that God would never separate somebody from him forever. So what he said, what they say is that if you don't believe, or if you don't do, I said it wrong, it's not just believing, it's believing and doing all the things they asked you to do. If you don't do that, you're an unbeliever and you're annihilated. You cease to exist. They don't believe in hell. So, I mean, you think about it. They do not hold to the Trinity. They do not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe that Jesus has bodily resurrection. They held to no eternal separation. They believe that death is annihilation. So there's a lot of weird things. And so if you know what you believe, if you know what you believe, you can be ready that when they come to talk to you, if you want to talk to them, you can begin with some key areas. And they want to say, New World Translation. You say, I just don't hold to the New World Translation. I'm sorry. Let's just look at the Bible. Because the Bible has been around a lot longer than the New World Translation. That's 1950. So I don't hold to your Bible. So let's look and see what the Scripture has to say about these things. So it's pretty powerful. The second thing we want to look at besides the background is Christ. How do they view Jesus Christ? Well, as I've got written there for you, they deny that Jesus Christ is God. He's a God, but he's not Jehovah God. That's pretty powerful. They worship Jehovah. Now, you remember, can anybody tell me about the name Jehovah, where that's found in the Scripture? It's not found in the Scripture. So they have a whole religion based off a name, which they say is the most important name ever, and it's not even found in the Scripture. We know that the name Jehovah comes from the Hebrew name YHWH, which we often translate it Yahweh, and the Hebrew word Adonai. They took the consonants of one and the vowels of the other and put them together. Now, when I say they, Jewish people did that. Jewish people did not want to say the personal name of God, which is YHWH. So what they did is took the consonants of one and the vowels of the other, put them together, and there was a name called Jehovah. It's not in the Scripture. It's just how the Jewish people would read without having to say the personal name of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that that's the name of God, and they'll talk about the Jehovah God in the Bible, but what they do is they go to the name YHWH, and they say that's Jehovah. That's not Jehovah. That's YHWH, okay? It's just a different name. And so their whole religion is based off a name that's not even in the Scripture. And so you can challenge them on that if you want to. Just say it to them. The word Jehovah is not in the Scripture. And they'll go to an English Bible. It'll say Jehovah Jireh. And you say, no, that's not in there. That's YHWH. That's the way it's translated in English. But that's not the name. And so that's the first aspect. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. They say that Jehovah God is God, that they deny that they say that Jesus is a created being, that he was conceived by. By the way, some of their writings say that Jesus was conceived by Jehovah God and Mary, which makes sense because who's the Holy Spirit in their view? It's Jehovah God. It's just the spirit of Jehovah God in some way. And so when it says the Holy Spirit shall come upon Mary and you'll have that child, they would say that's Jehovah God having sexual relations with Mary, and that produces Jesus, and he's a created being. He wasn't in existence before then. That's when he just comes into existence. Now, does the Bible teach that Jesus Christ is God? Is Jesus Christ God? What does John 10:28 say? You may know. I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, who has the right to give eternal life? Only God does. That's Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, I give eternal life to them, and they'll never perish. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. Nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are what? One. That's John 10:30. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen who? The Father. Remember when that guy was there and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And when Jesus said that, the Pharisees thought to themselves, who does he think he is? And Jesus, reading their minds, said, well, let me ask you something. Which is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Okay, let's just tell him, get up, you take your mat and go and walk. Just to show you that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins because he's God. All throughout the scripture, the Bible clearly, you want these verses because when you talk to them and they tell you that Jesus is a created being and he has not always existed and he's not God, you'll say he gives eternal life. He says he and the Father are one. John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He gives eternal life. Only God gives life. You can go to Colossians. That's the next slide. 1:16-17, he is the creator. Now they change it. Remember, this is the verse they change. And so when you read your Bible, they will be a little bit shocked because they don't usually read our Bibles. They've only had their Bibles, most of them. And so when you go to Colossians and you read it, they'll say, well, my Bible doesn't say that. And they'll say, that's right, because your Bible changed this. It says all things were created by him, for him, and through him. And through him all things exist. And he holds all things together. Make them think. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, in him is the fullness of the Godhead. You know what that means? That's a typo. It's supposed to be, Colossians 2:9. Let me double check that real quickly. I don't think it's supposed to be Corinthians. I just looked at it and that doesn't look right to me. It's Colossians, isn't it? Colossians 2:9? Yeah, it is. So I looked up there and saw that typo and I thought, that's not right. Colossians 2:9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. What do you think that means? That Jesus Christ is what? He's God. He's God. He's the fullness of God. Colossians 2:9. And in Hebrews 1:8, calls him God. He says, O Son, O God, your throne is forever. There are passages in the Bible that call Jesus Christ God. Now, they would say, well, yeah, he's God, but he's a God. No. A God does not give eternal life. A God is not the creator. One more. John 1:1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. They changed, their Bible changes it to be their Word was a God. It doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible is very clear in the original language that it is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's very, very clear. They had to change it to make it fit their theology. That's why they came up with their own translation. I mean, understand this. They didn't come up with their own translation because they just wanted to come up with a translation. They came up with their own translation because they have to come up with the Bible that fits their theology. What you should do is have your theology come from the Bible, not your Bible come from your theology. Because all we have to do is think of anything we want to believe and then write it down and then say that, make up a Bible that fits that. That's what they've done. So just remember, it doesn't work that way. It goes the opposite way. There are a number of places in the Bible in which Jesus is called the God. If you want to write this down out by the side, let me give you some places. Hebrews, of course, 1:8, John 20:28 is where it's actually the God in the original language. Titus 2:13, it's the God. I just want you to understand that. So you can write those out by the side, because they'll come up to you and say, there's no place in the scripture where Jesus is called the God, and there are a bunch of places where he's called the God, not a God. So just so you can understand that. Now, here's one of the things. They say that Yahweh, Jehovah, is the I Am. And they're exactly right. In the Old Testament, there is the name El, which is the name for God. And then there's the name Elohim, which is the name for God. There's the name Adonai, which is Hebrew name for Lord. It's capital L in our Bibles with little O-R-D. And then there's the name YHWH, which is the personal name of God, which comes from a root word. This is Yahweh, but it comes from a root word, Hayah, which means I am. And so this name, YHWH, from the root that's connected with it, means I am. And that's why we talked about it a couple of weeks ago and even last week, when Moses told God, who shall I say is sending me at the burning bush? When he said, well, who am I going to tell them sent me? God said, tell them I am who I am, that I am sent you. So his name is I Am. The Jehovah's Witnesses would say that the God of the Old Testament, the God, the only God, is the I Am. Now, let me ask you something. Did Jesus Christ say that he is the I Am? What about I am the bread of life? I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. He said it a bunch of times, didn't he? But I want you to see something else. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 24. I want you to see this, because in John chapter 8, two different times in the chapter, he claims to be the I Am. And sometimes we miss it because we read fast, and sometimes our English translations do something that sort of confuses it. Look what we see in John 8, 24. Jesus says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that what? I am. Now, see, what did our English Bible do? They had an E. Is it a he? Is it in italics? What does that mean? It means it's not in the original scripture. They thought they were going to make it clearer by saying, I am he. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I am he. What did he say? In the original language, he says, therefore I say to you, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am. That's what he's saying. What? A. Oh, yeah, well, you don't. Yeah, well, there aren't any capitals in the scripture. So, I mean, there aren't, either they're all capitals or no capitals. They didn't have punctuation or capitals or things. But they made it, I am, and they didn't make it. They did not write this verse. The translators did not write this verse to emphasize that Jesus was saying that he is the I am. But that's what he's saying. Look at John 8:58. In verse 56, as you look at John 8, just turn back, look back a couple of verses where he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. What did Jesus just tell these religious leaders? That Abraham was what? Glad to what? Okay, listen, what does 8:56 say? Let me start over. Maybe we're missing what I'm saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What did he just tell these religious leaders? Huh? Let me start back over, because I'm not communicating very well. You already think you know the answer that I'm looking for, but you don't. I'm just a simple answer. Jesus is talking to religious leaders, and he says this: your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. What day? His day. He's saying the religious leaders were glad to see who? Abraham was glad to see who? Jesus. He just told him, Abraham saw me and was glad to see me. What did they say to that? So the Jews said to him, wait a minute. You're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? They knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying to them, Abraham was glad to see me. And they said, you're not even 50 years old. You couldn't have seen Abraham. Now look at the next verse. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, guess what? What does he say? I am. I'm the I am. I'm the I am. So I want you to know this, that when the Jehovah's Witnesses talk to you, and they say that Jehovah God is I am, I want you to say, Jesus is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the I am, and take them to these verses. They will say to you, that is wrong. So I want to show you one more place to go. Now you ready for this one? This is the great one. I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 12. And I want you to understand that if you go to Zechariah chapter 12 and you get them to follow along with you in the scripture, they will go, oh no, why didn't somebody show me this verse before I left the house? In Zechariah chapter 12, I want you to tell me who's speaking in the passage, okay? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord. Now tell me, is it all capitals? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D?
Yes.
Okay, so that means that's who? That's YHWH. That's who they say that is.
Jehovah.
That's Jehovah. Okay, tell them, okay, is that Jehovah God? Yes. And he says, behold, I'm going to make Israel a cup. Who's going to make Israel a cup? Who's saying this? Jehovah God. Verse 3, in that day I'm going to make Jerusalem a heavy stone. Who's saying that? Jehovah God. Verse 4, in that day declares the Lord, that's Jehovah God, I will strike every horse. Who's saying that? Jehovah God. Down in verse 6, in that day I will make the clans of Judah. Who's saying that? Jehovah God. Verse 7, the Lord also will save the tents of Judah. Who's saying that? Jehovah God. In that day, verse 8, the Lord will declare the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Who's saying that? Jehovah God. Verse 9, in that day I will set about to destroy the nations of Israel, the nations that come against Jerusalem. Who's saying that? Who's saying it? Verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David. Who will pour out on the house of David? Jehovah God. I will pour out on the house of David and all the inhabitants of Israel the spirit of grace and of supplication so that they will look on me. Who's me? Jehovah God, they will look on me whom they have pierced. When's Jehovah God pierced? On the cross, Jesus Christ. Just tell them, when was Jehovah God pierced? They have to understand that Jesus is God. You take them through the passage, make them say it. That's Jehovah, that's Jehovah, that's Jehovah, that's Jehovah. Verse 10, who's this one that's going to pour out on the house of David? And they'll say, that's Jehovah. And then they'll get to the one that says, they will look on me. Who's me? They'll say, Jehovah, whom they have pierced. They'll say, when did they pierce Jehovah? And they won't have an answer for you. And they will say something like, I don't think I've seen this verse before. And then you say to them, you need to see it clearly. It's powerful. They teach that Jesus, when he rose from the grave, did not rise bodily. In fact, at the top of the next page, did Jesus rise bodily? The answer is no. They would say it's spiritual. On the yellow sheet that I gave you that talks about different things, it says that, let me see if I can find it. The one I was reading, I can't find it right off, but the idea that Jesus did not come back from the dead in a body, it may have been right at the top, let's see. He's crucified after his death, Jesus raised from the dead as a spirit creature. This is the third one down where it says the purpose of Jesus' incarnation on earth was threefold. To teach the truth about God, to provide a model of a perfect life for people to what? What do you think? You think it's going to be works for salvation? You think it's going to be grace by faith? It's going to be works salvation. To sacrifice his life to set humans free from sin and death. We go, that sounds okay. His crucifixion was not on a cross. It's on a single stake. After his death, God raised Jesus from the dead as a spirit creature, and he returned to his home in heaven. Jesus was not made king, however, until 1914. I don't know. I think that's because one of their prophets in the beginning thought it would be 1914, so they made it 1914. Only problem was nothing happened in 1914, so they said, well, he became king, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And we'll get more on that. We've already had the first bell, am I correct?
Yes.
We haven't had the second one yet. Okay, I want to do one thing. Did Jesus rise from the grave bodily? Take them to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 26, after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and the door had been shut, and Jesus stood in their midst, and he said to Thomas, reach over here, Thomas, with your fingers, and see my hands, touch here with my hand, put it in my side, do not be unbelieving, but believing. In the Gospel of Luke, which we will continue to study, he appears before them, and he says, give me something to eat. Touch me. Give me some food. I'm not a spirit being. I'm not a ghost, is what he said. I am a person. Feel me. Give me something to eat so I can show you I'm real. When they say to you that Jesus didn't rise from the grave physically, it was spiritual, just take them to these verses and say, what do you think is going on here? Who has taught you these things that are inaccurate? Tell them they have been taught things that are not biblical, and they need to see the scripture. It may wake some of them up. You just don't know. Okay, that was the bell, right? Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll get into the salvation part next time. And Lord willing, if we get all the way through it, we'll start another one, another group. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Help us, Lord, as we look at these things, that it breaks our heart that somebody would say that Jesus is not God and that he didn't rise from the grave and that he's not the Savior and that he's not lived from all eternity and that he's not who he is. And it just breaks our heart, Lord, when people do that. Help us to be very clear on what we believe, know what we believe, and then be ready to give an answer so that if we were to talk to some of these people, that we can show them about the name and how Jesus is the Yahweh who is pierced, and that he indeed is the Son of God that rose from the grave bodily as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Teach us, Lord, and help us to be ready to share this with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.